You're listening to the Journey Church podcast. At Journey Church, our vision is to see dreams discovered and built, and broken dreams rediscovered and rebuilt. Our mission is to love God, His Word, and His world. For more information on how to connect with us, please stay tuned following the message. Now, we trust that you'll be blessed by the following presentation.
Well, hey, if you got your Bibles here this morning, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, if you're following along with us as well on the app, we've got all the scriptures for you provided there. Luke chapter 9. Now, this is the funniest message in the series, just to give you a heads up at the start. I know last week was intense. How many know what I'm talking about? Truthful, but intense. And by the way, thank you for the feedback that we've been receiving from these messages. It's been more so than a lot of feedback we receive in series, just about how these talks have been challenging and convicting, compelling, and changing a lot of hearts that God is speaking to this series. And you know, even as intense as last week was, you know, what I've learned about receiving and hearing truth is that many times truth doesn't always feel good going in. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it hurts a little bit. Sometimes it shapes, it molds. And, you know, nobody likes hearing Malachi chapter 3 where God says, "You are robbing me." Like, nobody likes to hear. It doesn't feel good to hear that. Nonetheless, it compels us to adjust and change our lives and to remedy that. So I just wanted to share that today. Truth will feel good going in. I'm certain, and I promise you that. The title of today's talk, really our final talk in this Blessed Life series, is called "The Principles of Multiplication." The principles of multiplication. I'm telling you, when it comes to the resources of God for your life, He desires multiplication, not just addition. I mean, how many would rather have, in the context of God's resources for your life, 8 times 8 rather than 8 plus 8? How many know what I'm talking about? I want all of God's resource for my life. And the reason I say that is God is a God of multiplication. He loves to multiply His provision in your life. And I want to prove to you this, how God not only wants to multiply His provision in His life to pour out that blessing in your life, but He wants to do it also so that He can pour His blessing out through your life. Because I want to make a statement here. Your hands, everybody just look at your hands for a second, all right? Your hands, those things you see right there, were created to make supernatural impact in others. Think about that. As you look at, my hands were created by God to make supernatural impact in the lives of others with what it is God puts in it. Hey, we're going to do something very unique here today. And let me just say it. We've ordered a pizza, all right, from Emo's. And what we're going to do, I told the first service this because we couldn't do it in the first service because there's no pizza places open. But now the pizza places are open. We've ordered a pizza that's on its way here in just a few moments. And the pizza guy is going to come in here, and I want to do something unique. I saw this on the Oscars like a while back. I think Ellen was hosting the Oscars this year, or the year what happened. Like, she ordered a pizza, and then, like, the pizza dude had no idea he was coming into the Oscars. And Brad Pitt and all these other big A-list actors are there. And she's like, "How about we give this pizza guy a tip?" And, like, all these people started giving this tip, these millionaires, you know what I'm saying? And this pizza guy's like, you know, like how cool this was. And so, I mean, I was like, how cool that is to see that kind of that reach, that generosity. And I was like, that shouldn't just be with Hollywood. I think that'd be cool if the church did that. Amen. And so the pizza guy has no idea he's going to walk into this service, and a big pasty bald white guy with a microphone is going to walk up to him, ask him his name. We're all going to celebrate him, and the pizza's already been paid for. But I think it would be cool if the church would give the tip. And so we took we passed the baskets in the 9 a.m. service. They gave $200 toward this guy's tip or this girl's tip, whoever's coming in. How many think we could match that here in this service? So if you've got a buck or two, you know what I'm saying, or whatever God would speak, we're going to pass the baskets. We've given our family. And so listen, I think it would be so cool if we just collectively would give a tip and watch about $400 just go to this person today. How many think that'd be cool to do that with a Troy Emo's pizza delivery guy? Amen. I think that would be so awesome. And this is just going to be an incredible, incredible moment. So as we're just passing our baskets here real quickly, I think it would be just so cool as we do this. And I've even instructed everybody in the first service who couldn't be here for this service, we're going to go, this is all going to be on Facebook Live. And so we're about to rock this pizza delivery guy's world. Amen. Or girl's world, whoever is going to be here today. It's going to be pretty, pretty cool. Amen. All right. Hey, as we're given, let's dig into our scripture here today, because I want to show you two principles of multiplication. Everybody say multiplication. From a very famous passage here, Luke chapter 9, we're going to look at verse 12, and it says this. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, Jesus, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place. But he, Jesus, said to them, the disciples, you give them something to eat. How many know where we're at in the Bible? This is when he's feeding the multitude, right, with 5 loaves and 2 fish. It says, and they said, we have no more than 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all these people. In other words, he's like, we ain't got the money to be paying for this many people. He says, for there were about 5,000 men. Now, it's very important that we understand there's a whole lot more than just 5,000 people here. It says 5,000 men, and in ancient Jewish culture, they counted the crowds by counting just the men, because what they were doing is they were counting the families. And back in that day, you can look in Josephus' writing, other historians, that would say the average per capita of a Jewish family in that time was about 4 to 5 kids. And they were there here in this story as well. So essentially, what we're looking at here is anywhere between 20 and 25,000 people that are in this moment. Here's a picture of 25,000 people, just so that we know. Like, this is a lot of people here that we are seeing. So it's very important. It's not feeding the 5,000. It's feeding 5,000 families with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Most theologians believe that this right here is the largest crowd that Jesus talked to during his earthly ministry, the largest one, and he's about to feed them all with what we just read in verse 13. How many would say God is a God of multiplication? Amen. It says this, then he, Jesus, said to the disciples, make them, the crowd, the 25,000, sit down in groups of 50. Any math heads in the room? What is 25,000 divided by 50 without a calculator? Anybody just say it out. Huh? 25,000 divided by 50, ready? 500, right? I had to do that with a calculator twice. Some of you guys just named that out in your heads. You're blessed, amen. It says this, and they did so. Now, I'm certain that took a minute. And made them all sit down. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And it says this, and Jesus, looking up to heaven, it says he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before them, to give to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled. And 12 baskets of leftover fragments were taken up by them. Can you go back to that picture, Darren? It says this, and they all ate and were full. Right? Think about that for a moment. This is an incredible miracle. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much just for who you are, your word. Wow. It's incredible to hear. And Lord, I just pray that we'd know it's just more than what we hear, God, that your word is a seed that is sown into our lives. I just pray fruit from this time. God, let us live out that which we take in here today. And guide me, I pray, every word I speak, that I would be an echo of what you're saying to us here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I love this story. I love this account here in Scripture. And you know me, I love to put ourselves inside the story while I'm telling you a Bible story or a passage. I like to put us in there. That's why you'll always hear me say, like, I wish Marty McFly could just roll up here and take us there. Like, I love just when I'm reading it to imagine that I'm there. And with this passage that we just read, let's do that. Let's just imagine that we are there and ask ourselves the question, how would you respond had you been there that day if you were one of the 12 disciples in this account? And here's what I mean. Imagine 25,000 people, y'all, that Jesus is talking to. This is a church service. I mean, this is a mega church service that's happening. So let's just imagine it to be like a church service here. And maybe there was some worship, right? The worship band comes up, and they're just dominating, right? And with their, or it would be more harps and drums and flutes. But you know what I'm saying? Like, just imagine that there's just this incredible worship. And afterwards, the disciple comes out and shares some announcements. And he's like, thank you so much for being here with us today. You're going to want to be part of what's coming up. Jesus is going to be teaching a cool series coming up next week called The Parable of the Good Samaritan. You're going to want to be part of it. Also, tomorrow we're going to be sending out the 70. It's going to be a wonderful commissioning service. You're going to want to be part of that as well. Sign up in the lobby to bring some refreshments to honor the 70. It'll be wonderful. And then maybe after the announcements, like they take an offering, and then after the offering, Jesus comes up and he starts teaching the service. And he starts at, I don't know, about 9:45. What? About when most preachers come up during a service around that time. And at 10:30, about 10:30, when most preachers are done preaching, Jesus is still going. As a matter of fact, time's going on and it's 11:30. He's still talking. It's past noon. He's still talking. It's 1 o'clock. He's still talking. Some of the dudes in the crowd are starting to get restless because it's football season. And they're like, oh, I already missed the first game, honey. You told me church wasn't going to be this long, right? And it's, no, but he's still talking. A struggle's beginning to ensue. 2 p.m., still talking. 3 p.m., still 4 p.m., 5 p.m., 6 p.m., still going. I'm not exaggerating here. Look at what verse 12 says. When the day began to wear away. You know what that statement means in the Greek? When the day began to wear away. It's what it means. Like the day is wearing on. The sun is going down here. And look at what it says happened around this time. He's been teaching now, according to these scriptures and theologians' interpretation of it, about 8 hours straight. Nobody complaining here about my 45-minute talks, all right? 8 hours Jesus is going to town here. But look at what happens around this time, around 6 p.m. It says in verse 12, when the day began to wear away, the 12 came to Jesus and made some statements. We have the impression here, I mean, if they're going to come to him right here in this moment, we have the impression that they probably huddled up a little bit before, that the disciples formed a little committee while he's talking, like he's probably 7 hours in, and they're just like, hey, guys, come on. All right, listen. First of all, isn't he doing great? Like, oh yeah, he's doing fantastic. Yeah, I mean, probably one of the best messages I've ever heard before. Phenomenal. My goodness, it's good. But how shall I say this? He just won't shut up. I was going to say the same thing. Now, again, great teaching. Fantastic stuff that he's sharing. Oh, absolutely. But I mean, I don't know about you guys, but we haven't had a lunch break. We haven't even had a snack break. We haven't even had a potty break. I mean, there's just been no breaks in this thing. 8 hours straight. And I don't know about you, but I'm about to wither away. I've got to eat. Do you understand what I'm saying? And and somebody's like, oh, man, me too. If I don't eat soon, I'm going to die, y'all. I mean, I am going to die. And if he wants me to go on with him, he's going to have to raise me back from the dead because I am starving to death. What are we going to do here? Right? And this is how I believe it went down. I believe in the huddle, one of the disciples like, what are we going to do? I got it. I got a solution. How about we go and tell him that the people are hungry. You know, we just tell, I mean, look at some of their faces. Some of them look starving. We can tell them that the people are hungry because he cares a lot about the people. Not so much about us, because you know what I'm saying. He's telling us to quit complaining and being little babies. But if we tell them the people, I mean, he's teaching 8 hours to these people. He must care a lot about them to be talking 8 hours to them. We could just say, hey, Jesus, you know, the people are hungry. They probably need just a little bit of a break. And so they do just that. They walk up to Jesus, right? While he's teaching, mind you. While he's teaching 25,000 people, mind you. I mean, look at this. It's not before he's teaching. It's not after he's teaching. The inference of Scripture here is that they are coming to him while he is teaching. They straight up interrupt him in the middle of his message. Jesus, the Son of the living God, the creator of heaven and earth, who spoke the world into existence with his words. How dare would anyone have the audacity to interrupt such a voice from even speaking, knowing what he can do with his words? How many know? Hunger will drive you to do crazy things. You know what I'm saying? It's just when you got to eat, come on somebody, I don't care who it is, I got to eat. So even if God himself has to shut his mouth, I got to eat, right? So they do just that. Look, you could. How did this go down? Like, imagine them walking up to Jesus. Probably one of them got thrown into him. Like, hey, excuse me. Hey, excuse me, everybody. I mean, you got 25,000 people here. I just need a minute with Jesus, all right? Just talk amongst yourselves. It'll be fantastic. Jesus, can I just talk to you for a second? Me and the fellas back here, we were talking, first of all, great job. You know what I'm saying? This is incredible stuff, this series of messages that you're bringing to us all in one day, in one sitting. I'm telling you, it's fantastic. But, I'm not saying this for me. Please, no, I could go all day. I was just telling John that back there. I was saying, you know, like, I could go all day. This is so good. Even if you wanted to go all night, I mean, I'll sign up. I'll be the first one. It was really great. But the people, Lord, I mean, look at them. Some of them are, I mean, you've been going 8 hours, which is fantastic. Again, let's go another 8. You know what I'm saying? This is great. But them, I mean, we care about them. I think it would be important if maybe we just, how shall I say this, wrap it up. Okay, let's just stop doing this and start doing this. And let's send them on their way, you know, because it's about 6 p.m. The restaurants are going to close, and if we don't get them some food, Jesus, they're not. You know, I'm just saying this for me. And you can see Jesus is probably looking at him like, and you're telling me this because you're concerned about the people. Oh, absolutely, Jesus. How dare you? Come on, it's me. It's always about the people. It's always about them. Okay. Okay, well, if you care about the people so much, how about you give them something to eat, and then goes back to teaching. I mean, isn't that what the Bible says? I mean, check this out. He says this. He said to them, well, then, you give them something to eat. Mister, I care about the people. I mean, since you care about them so much, how about you go and get them, 25,000 people, something to eat? You can imagine the response of a disciple when he hears a statement like that. Okay, goes back to the huddle. What did he say? What did he say? He said for us to get them something to eat. Oh no, he didn't. Oh yeah, he very much just said that. He said for us to give them something to eat. You know, I don't know what we're gonna do, guys. This is a problem. I don't know what. How, I mean, if he told us to do something, we got to do it. Now listen. And somewhere around that time, there was a little boy who must have been coming from town to his home. Bringing food for his family in the form of a meal, in the form of 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And somehow the disciples got hold of this meal. We don't know how they got hold of it. Somehow they did. Some people teach that the boy was just generous and gave him the meal. I really don't think that's probably what went down. I think the disciples were probably a little more gangster in the moment and just straight up jack this little kid's meal. like in some type of way? Because, I mean, a boy is going to do what his dad and mom tell him to do, right? I mean, these are kids that are taught strictly to obey your parents, and he's probably just skipping down the street, headed back to where he's going to home so that he can have it after he's come from the market. And you see Peter probably running over to him, and he's just like, hey, hey, where you going? Come on back here, little guy. Come on, little fella, little hare. Come here. Man, aren't you awesome? What you got there? Mmm, smells good. What is it? He's like, oh, it's a meal for my family tonight, mister. I mean, I'm just headed home. And he's like, oh, are you now? Listen, you see that guy over there? Yeah, he wants your lunch. He wants all this right now. So what I'm going to ask you to do is go ahead and give that over to me. Oh, gee, I don't know, mister. I don't know if I should. I mean, my dad told me, listen, I know what your dad told you to do, but let me tell you who that guy is over there. His name is Jesus. You know who Jesus is, don't you? He's the Son of the living God, creator of heaven and earth. That means that guy over there is God. And you know what happens to little boys who don't listen to God, don't you? Yeah. So why don't you just go ahead and give me that lunch right now, right? And just straight up jacks this boy's lunch. That's how I believe it completely went down right there. And so they get this boy's lunch. And the disciples are probably like, all right, we got something here. Now what? Right? What are we going to do with this lunch right here? And one of the disciples was probably like, this is not enough to feed 25,000 people. It's not even enough to feed 12 people. What are we going to do? And one of the other disciples was probably like, you know what? If Jesus said, go get him what we have, this is what we have. Let's play him at his own game. Let's put the ball in his court. Because once we bring him 5 loaves and 2 fish for 25,000 people, he's going to be like, all right, this is all you got. It's not enough. We'll dismiss the service and we can go home and we can head to Eatville. Come on, somebody. This is going to be awesome. And so you can imagine like here they bring something to God. Listen to me just for a second. Don't you think once Jesus sees 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish for 25,000 people that he would say, all right, let's dismiss the service. This is not enough. Yes or no? Right? Most of us would think that's absolute reason. What's about to happen doesn't make any sense. And let me just rabbit trail here for a second. Listen to me. Giving to God does not make any sense. Tithing doesn't make any sense, but it somehow works. So listen, the disciples bring Jesus this boy's meal for his family. 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. Fully expecting, I believe, Christ to dismiss the service. Here's what we got. And Jesus looks at him, looks at what they got. All right, that's enough. I like it. Go on, divide them up. Let's eat. Can you imagine what in the world the disciples thinking holding this right here? What did you just say? Hold on just a second, Jesus. Like, this isn't like, maybe you didn't hear me right. This isn't like the tip of the iceberg here of a bunch of other food that we have. This isn't like an example of a meal for a family. This is the meal for everybody. Jesus is like, yeah, I know. I heard you. Go on, divide it up. Watch what I can do. Right? Think about this just for a second. Now, weirdly, this is not new to the disciples, a scenario like this. Because they know about a similar occurrence that happened in Scripture in the Old Testament concerning something like this. It's in 2 Kings chapter 4, and it's when Elisha fed 100 fighting men with 20 loaves of bread. And it says that Elisha, right, prays, blesses the bread, and it just miraculously right there multiplied, like into heaps. And it says that the 100 men ate, all the bread were full, and they had enough left over. So the disciples see stuff like, I mean, they've read about this stuff right here. And so, you know, they probably in that moment when Jesus was saying that, like, they got the point, they know what he's trying to do, and they thought back to 2 Kings 4, and, well, that's Elisha. I mean, this is Jesus. I've seen him do even more incredible stuff, so this is going to be even more insane. This is more than 100 men. This is 25,000 people. This is going to be really awesome. Perhaps what they thought in this moment was that is what is going to go down. Here, Jesus is going to step up here right before everybody, set the 5 loaves and 2 fish down. He's going to pray for it and bless it. And then right there in front of everybody's eyes, it's just going to start to miraculously start to multiply into huge heaps. And everybody would get to eat. And actually, that is what many Christians believe happened in this story. That Jesus prayed over it, and then it just started multiplying right there. But that is not what happened. Look at verse 16 and what verse 16 says. It says that he, Jesus, blessed and broke them. Let me ask you, what is them? 5 loaves, 2 fish. He blessed and broke them. What is them? 2 fish, right? And watch this. And gave them, again, what is them? To the disciples to give out to the multitude. Now let's look at this for what the Bible says just happened here. Imagine you're a disciple. Peter, for instance, who was probably at the front of the line here, as it just seemed to be his character. I mean, he was always first in line to be involved, jumping out of the boat, walking on water, always the one who spoke up, one of the first to get called to be a disciple. I mean, imagine you're Peter, who has a front row seat to this miracle right here that's about to happen. And Jesus takes a piece of bread, breaks it, lifts it to heaven, and says, Father, bless it. And then gives half to Peter, who's standing there just looking at it like, are you done? Because this is half a loaf, and that's a whole lot more people than just what'll feed half a loaf. Are you sure you're done? Yeah, absolutely. I'm completely done. Now go. Watch what you do with what it is I have blessed, Peter. Okay, right? What would you do with half a loaf of bread in your hand and Jesus says, go feed 25,000 people with it? How many know you'd be a little unsure what's about to happen in this process? Now, the Bible doesn't necessarily say and display a lot of doubt in the disciples about this moment, but think about it. Think about the principle of the process. There had to be a struggle in their finite minds. But what they more than likely failed to see was the power that was attached to the half a loaf that sat in their hand, was the power that was attached to the fish that was in their hands. Hear me. Jesus, the Bible says, blessed it and then gave it back. Jesus is probably thinking, Peter, you're not understanding. Once you bring it to me first and I bless it, watch what happens with what it is I have blessed. Now, if you're Peter in the moment with your half a loaf and 25,000 people now divided up into 50 groups, right? 500 groups each, right? I mean, 500 is about how many people attend Journey Church on a weekend. Like, think about that for a second. One half a loaf. How many get ticked at me with a potluck, huh? With half a loaf, that's all we got to eat. If you're Peter and you're going to go give this out, what are you going to do? If it was me, I'd be like, all right, here we go. I'm going to need you to take a tiny little piece, all right? Just take a tiny little piece off, distribute it. You're all little mice. Just imagine yourself as mice. Tiny little piece. All right, tiny piece. All right, tiny piece. How you guys doing, tiny piece? Yeah, I said tiny piece. Oh, you selfish people. I'm going to remember your family. Tiny piece. Tiny piece, tiny piece. And he's probably getting to the point probably where there's just one little tiny piece left in their hand, right? And he's just about to distribute it to the last person. So I like to think it probably went down. And all of a sudden, right before he's about to give it to that last person, something started happening in the hands of these disciples where this bread started growing, where this fish just started growing. Other fish and other pieces of bread inside of their hands. Hear me, y'all. Look at these scriptures. The miracle did not happen in the master's hand. The miracle happened in the hands of the disciple. Once they gave what they had to Jesus and they blessed it, it was then that they were able to give what they had away at levels that blessed 25. Let me give you quickly two principles of multiplication. Number one, it has to be blessed before it can multiply. Now, I've learned from this series, and we've been talking about finances in this series a lot. We've learned from this series that the way our finances are blessed is how we bring them first to God, right? We put him first. It's that tithe, it's that 10% we bring to the house. Even Hebrews backs it up and says that Jesus himself receives our tithes, our finances into his hand, where then he blesses the rest of our finances. And hear me, if you want your finances blessed, your finances first must go to Jesus. They first must go in his word to the house of God, so that he can bless our finances. In scripture, look at it. There simply is no skirting this. Let me ask you this question. What if the disciples had tried to give this food out before Jesus blessed it? It would have ran out. It would have never multiplied. Yet so many believers try to have blessed finances, try to live blessed financial lives without honoring God with the tithe, which is the avenue God uses for our finances. Let me take it away in another context. So many believers try to have blessed marriages without first taking their marriage and the focus of their marriage and the time spent in their marriage to Jesus. Many people try to have successful parenting without putting their parenting first in the hand of Jesus. If we want our lives blessed, no matter what area it is, we must first bring it into the hands of Jesus. How many know what I'm talking about? God says, bring it to me and I'll bless the rest. My goodness. Back to the disciples here. Check this out. And by the way, let me just talk about this for a moment. I mean, I've learned this principle, even in my tithe, that 90% with God's blessing will always go further and farther than 100% without. I'm telling you, I've lived it. I know it. I say it to be true. And if you know it to be true, somebody say a good amen. I'm telling you, I've received testimonies from you guys, and even in our leaders, from people that have said, man, it's just changed my life, this Blessed Life series. Send us your testimony. If we've not heard it, send it to us. Share it with us. And also, when you send it, let me know if it's cool for me to share it with everybody else, because sometimes I get in trouble because I just share stuff without your permission and the stuff you send me. Amen. All right. You're like, I just told you that. You just went and just threw all my business out to the church. Sorry, I didn't know. I was so excited. Your story's incredible. All right, here we go. It has to be blessed before it can multiply. And number two, it has to be given away before it can multiply. $410. See here? Four what? 472. Pizza guy is not here yet? He's on his way. Well, we're taking that out of his tip. Amen. Hear me, y'all. It was at this point in the message from like pizza guy. So now we're just going to sit here. Come on, doesn't it feel good to do something like this? I'm telling you, like, it feels great to be able to do something. We're talking about giving away. Listen, it has to be given away before it can multiply. Let me ask this question. What if the disciples, watch this, had eaten what was in their hands before Jesus? Or after Jesus blessed it. What is it if he would have blessed it? Because they were hungry, right? He blessed it, breaks it, gives the disciples, and the disciples are like, right? Right? What would have happened if that would have happened? How many know? It would have never been multiplied. The multitude would have never been fed. God always wants to use what's in our hands. So, hey, as soon as this guy walks in here, all right, I want everybody, just if they would, let's do this. When he walks in, we're all just going to stand up and start clapping and shouting. Can we do that? Are you ready? All right, bring this guy in. Hold on. Yeah, we're about to freak a pizza guy out. You ready for this? Hey, come on, let's give it up for a pizza guy. Is this the pizza guy? Here, you can set that right here, brother. All right, you can sit down. All right. Hey, what's your name?
Matt,
I apologize that we are freaking you out right now, all right? What is it that we got here, Matt? You guys can sit down. Thank you so much.
Sausage pepperoni pizza.
All right. Now, this is what we have here. Let's pull this thing out right here because we love Emo's. How many love Emo's pizza? The square beyond compare. Amen. It's really, really good stuff. Now, the pizza, from what I understand, has been paid for, correct?
No, it has not.
It has not been paid for. All right, this lady right here is Angel. She's going to pay for the pizza. But what this church wanted to do, because what we just wanted to really be part of is just an opportunity to say thank you to people in our community who do really cool stuff, no strings attached. So this is just one service. We had a 9 o'clock service as well, and they just wanted to come. Matt, right? They just wanted to come and say, we want to bless Matt with a tip. So the church was able to put together about $472 for you, okay? We just want to say thank you for who you are in this community, man, all right? God bless you. Hold on. All we ask for you to do right now in this room full of generous people that have all taken part in being a blessing is you got to pick one person to give this pizza to. Just one person, all right? So just go ahead and look around. It can be somebody close to you. It can be somebody far away. Give this pizza to one person. Who are you seeing? Look at his eye. Oh, yeah. Coworker love. I know what you're saying. Matt, God bless you, brother. We hope you have a good rest of your day, man. One more time, Journey Church. Let's hear it from Matt. God bless you, man. Right on. That's incredible. Now, Jane, Matt just got how much? I wonder if we should have taught Matt about tithing just right then. That would have probably been important. Hey, Matt. No, I'm just kidding. It's for a later date. Now, this is what we're going to do, Jane. I want you, if you would. Now, we just talked about Jesus multiplying 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. So we're just going to pray for the pizza to be multiplied, right? Right here in this room. So if we've got any takers, right, we probably need some napkins, right? Can somebody just run and go get some napkins? And just over the course of the next couple of minutes, let's just give this out. And if it runs out, right, that probably means that somebody's cursed in this room and you're not tithing. So make sure that you make your commitment to God here, all right? God bless you. Jane and Mike, they're going to distribute some sausage and pepperoni to anybody that wants some. How many think that was awesome right there just to be part of something like that? Amen? Here's my point. Listen, it had to be given away before it could multiply. Come on, doesn't it feel good to do something like that? Listen, giving created this moment right there. Matt is right now getting in his car like, what the heck just happened? Right? Something went from your hands to make incredible, supernatural impact in the life of somebody that you don't know. Giving creates those moments. Giving does. We're talking giving it over eating it. And God blesses giving. Listen, what I've been blessed with, I don't want to just devour it for myself. And I'm not saying, hear me, it's bad to have things and it's bad to own things. Please don't think I'm saying that at all. But hear me, giving is always better than receiving. I think that's somewhere in the Bible. Come on, somebody. Here's what I mean. When I was in Bible college, and Scott Farmer has been somebody that's attended this church since the beginning, and I got his permission to tell the story. See what I'm saying? I'm doing better. And when I was in Bible college, I've known Scott since I was 15 years old. He's been one of my great, great friends. And when I was 17, I graduated high school and was married for a year after that. I got married really young at 18. And then right after that, I went to college in Ohio Bible College. And how many know when you're a college student, you are Poe? Some of you say, isn't it poor? No, I couldn't even afford the OR. I mean, I was Poe. Like, I didn't have anything. You know what I'm saying? It's beanie weenies, mac and cheese every night, ramen noodles every day. You know what I'm talking about? Name brand cereal? Forget that. Come on, somebody. There ain't no such thing as Fruit Loops. It's Rainbow Rounds. How many know what I'm talking about? It ain't Cocoa Puffs. It's Choco Dots. Come on, somebody. Can I get some Choco Dot love in the house? And we were at a level where it was just like, we were just barely making ends meet. And like I said, my wife and I practiced the principles of tithing and giving and generosity our entire marriage. And God has never let us run dry. Not that there haven't been hard times, but he's been faithful at all times. And we were at a place where we needed another car. because my wife worked at Subway. She had already graduated from college, worked at Subway to work me through college because she's older than me. Come on, somebody. She just went and pulled me right out of the crib. Straight cougar. Come on. Anyway, so we were just at that place where she needed a car because she worked about around 3 miles. I said 4 miles in the first service. It wasn't that many. It was around three miles. And she had to walk to work. And where we lived, we couldn't afford. So we were in the city of Columbus. And so we were just like, God, give us a car. Because where I had to use the car because I worked 16, 17 miles away. And so it was really hard for her to walk. And it was just kind of dangerous areas. And so we're just like, God, we just need another car. We can't afford one. And I can't share you the whole story of how it got happened. But God required something to me. And I had to give it away. And God's like, I'm going to bless you with something. And he told me that, like, get ready, don't worry, blessing's coming in that regard. And within 24 hours of God telling me this, Scott Farmer, who's my friend, has no idea why I have this need, no idea. I don't share my needs with people. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like that. I don't want to be a burden on anybody. Anybody kind of relate to that? It's just like, if God wants to meet it, he'll meet it. He knows me more than anybody, so anyway, long story short, 24 hours after God tells me, I'm going to bless you with something, don't worry about it, just keep your eyes on me, Scott Farmer calls me and tells me, God told me, I don't know why. First he goes, do you need a car? And I'm like, why? I'm not even going to answer the question, why are you asking? He goes, because God told me to give you a car. And he says, I was just praying. He was shaking his voice. I was just praying, and God told me to give you a car. He goes, do you need a car? And I'm just like... You ever just broken down, but you don't want your homies to know that you're, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, yeah, why? You know, and he's just like, I don't know why, man. I'm just telling you, God told me to give you a car. And I was like, oh, yeah, man, when do you need me to come pick it up? You know, I'm just like losing it. He's like, come on out here right now, man. He goes, I've got two of them. You pick one, okay? You pick which one you want. And Scott's by no means this big, loaded guy. It was just this obedient believer. And he has no idea what he did in my life. I actually told him the story when I got there. And God blessed us with a car in that moment. Now hear me. After that, God's blessing started pouring out on Missy and I. We ended up becoming youth pastors. And we were blessed at a level where we were like, we don't need this car anymore. Because we were blessed with another one. And so I called Scott. I was like, hey, I don't need this. He goes, I gave it to you. I don't want it back. Do with it what you want. And I was like, I'm going to give this car away to somebody else. I'm not going to sell it. I just want to give it. It was still a good car and was able to give it to somebody in need. And it was their miracle. And can I tell you, since then, I've been able to give another car away. And hear me, I'm not able to say it's like, look at Jesse, isn't he special? Y'all know I ain't special. Like, go listen to the Confession of a Pastor series in September. Y'all know I ain't special. But what I want to do is be a blessing with what it is God has blessed me with. It's hear me. If I want anything to be, I've got to give it away, y'all. I don't want to just devour it. I want to be a blessing. It is my goal and desire to give another car away, and another car, and another one after that. Come on, who wants to be my friend? Amen. You know what I'm saying? I just want to be a blessing to others. Let's stand to our feet. This series is designed for selflessness. How many hate that word? It's fun to hear. It's hard to live out. It's a series designed for selflessness, which is a requirement for generosity. And generosity is a requirement to live the blessed life. You cannot live a blessed life unless you're generous. You can't. You'll never live in the blessing of God unless you're generous in heart. There's this story in the Bible. I think I left it for you on the app. If not, read it this afternoon. You get some time. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 1, where God says to Solomon the most insane statement ever. He says, ask me whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. How many would love it if God just said that to you? Ask me whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. I'm like, what in the world did Solomon do to deserve a statement like that from God? Read 2 Chronicles 1. It tells you what he did. It was a time of sacrifice. It was a time of giving. It was a time for the burnt offering. And it was commanded in the scripture, everybody to bring one burnt offering to one animal, one burnt offering for sacrifice. One, that's it. But Solomon wanted to get God's attention, to tell God how generous he is and how much he wanted to honor his heart and his kingdom. And so Solomon didn't do one. He brought 1,000. Can you imagine what the sound of 1,000 animals coming? Just rumbling the ground at once. Solomon was trying to make a point to say, I just want to outgive you, God. I just want to show you my heart for you and what I think about you and all you've done for me. And after that moment, after that incredible, insane circumstance and situation of generosity, God says to Solomon, ask me whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. You don't see God saying stuff like that to anybody unless they're generous in heart. Let me say it this way. In Scripture, we only see God saying stuff like that to the generous and selfless in heart. So I want you, if you would, just to close your eyes before you go and just let the voice of the Holy Spirit lead you right now.
Thank you for listening to the Journey Church podcast. If you would like prayer or to connect with us in any way, please contact us by emailing us at info@journeychurchmo.com. You can also find more information on service times, events, and more on our website, www.journeychurchmo.com.